You are listening to a Need10 Media podcast production.
Jayhawks on the Move, season two, number three.
It is already episode number three.
Just a big guy in here. Getting out a lot of time. You got things to do.
Game week. Always got stuff to do.
It's game week, so I'm used to backing out for this, but don't need to hit anybody. We'll get through. We'll talk about scrimmage on this past Friday with Columbus. Kind of what to expect coming into this week as you open the season against defending champion Hudson. And second day of school.
Yeah,
already.
Right.
As we're recording this on a Monday. So let's rewind. Let's talk Friday. Load up the bus, head over to Waterloo, Columbus. New experience for, I think, a lot of people in Jessup. Never really have gone over there to compete against the Sailors on their turf. Getting ready for that scrimmage and how it all went and kind of your reflections on that.
Yeah, so it was a nice little trot down to Waterloo, Columbus. We had the guys actually dress in their bottoms, so when we got off the bus, we could just throw on our shoulder pads and get going. Overall, good scrimmage. Not bad, not great, but see some guys in action, some guys in some different spots, and just stop hitting the same guy over and over again. So another chance to try some stuff at game speed and kind of get adjusted to game speed. And Columbus is a great squad. You know, finished the year off at 7-2 last year, and have a decent amount of returners coming back. So it's a good, it's a great measuring stick for potentially what the Jayhawks could be this year.
So what were some key highlight things that you pulled out of there that you could really see had taken hold with the players you have that you're pretty impressed with walking away and getting back on the bus on Friday?
There's the first thing is one of our expectations of being a Jayhawk football player is you're earlier on time, you're on time, you're late, and you're late. If you're late, you're in trouble.
Side note, I was late today.
It's all right.
So, trouble.
But bus leaved at 4, everybody was suited and booted at 3:55. So we know that the kids are taking this seriously and we're ready to go. That was one of, I guess you call it, like an administrative deals that was really great to see. The kids were getting locked in and ready to go. Another thing is just to see how much we've been able to grasp and how much further we are from last year at this point in time, offensively and defensively, just whether it's getting our calls in or being able to jive with each other to build that camaraderie amongst each other, or just, like I said, being able to get lined up and run the play correctly.
How much change have you had in what you're running defensively or offensively compared to last year, or the systems or the way you are organizing this to execute?
You know, any good coach realizes what they have, just like any teacher realizes what they have in the classroom. And one of the deadliest phrases out there, well, we've always done it this way. So as a teacher or a coach, you realize what you have on the field or the classroom, and you got to find the way to put those students or your players in the best position possible. So just being able to take away, you know, hey, they understand this concept differently. They understand this concept in a different fashion. So, and we've been fortunate enough that we had, a lot of our kids show up during the summer and we could evaluate, it's not the right word, but just kind of see, hey, this fits better. Hey, we understand this at a different rate.
Because when you're looking at a squad you have, and your numbers are not, I'm sure, where you want them, and it's a part of building that Jayhawk football squad back up, you really have to kind of manufacture your game plan based around your talent, obviously.
Right. You know, we can't be just throwing darts at a dartboard out there. And obviously, any good coach, any coach that knows is worth their salt, is going to say, hey, I need to look at the players, I need to look at the formations, and I need to look at plays. How can I put those kids in a position to be successful? And, you know, 5-6 years ago, we had a squad where we could line up and 22 personnel and run the ball down people's throats. And, you know, the past couple of years, we haven't had a back that can take the ball 30 times a game, or, you know, the road graders up front to do so. And, because if you go out there and do things you're not capable of, you're not going to be happy with what you see on Friday nights.
So you get through the weekend, Monday, day two of school. So you've got your players, you know, trying to get used to that schedule and then go out for practice. You know, just right now, what does a regular Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday look like for the Jayhawk football team as you work into a Friday night kickoff?
You know, a typical Monday, I think, would be a traditional Monday across most of football in the United States. I would say, you know, not to give away all of our secrets, but we do, but I'd say some teams watch some aspect of film, they work out a little bit, maybe talk about what they're going to see on Friday nights, and there are some coaches that kind of go from a non-traditional approach, and they go, hey, we're strapped up, we're full pads, we're getting after it on that first day. And it varies from year to year depending on, you know, if there are JV games on Mondays and kind of how many kids do you have out football season.
Yeah, I guess talk about some injuries. You had some guys on the sidelines just in jersey and jeans.
Right.
Trying to fight some of those guys back, or will we see them back in on Friday?
We have, you know, there's a couple guys here and there that just were, I don't want to say protecting them, we're fighting through a little couple dings here and there, some other reasons why we don't have them playing, whether it's, you know, academia reasons or if it's for they haven't completed the amount of practices that we require for them to be able to strap it up and play in a game. So those are just a couple of reasons why some of those guys, individuals, were not participating on Friday.
So we'll start into the week, and how do you prepare for Hudson? You know what they had.
Yep.
But you come into a game that you don't know what they really have this year, other than, you know, looking at their roster, they've got some big boys in that squad.
They've got some big boys, and they got some cats back from their state champs team. And, you know, one of the things that we got to do as individuals is we got to figure out what, you know, we have been figuring out what Jessup football is all about and figuring out, you know, this is what it's going to take to have kind of the freak mentality and how we're going to line up and play against, you know, especially it's always kind of tough against the non-district to start off the year because of what you're available to see from years past or from scrimmages. And, you know, just like any coach, whether you have 100 hours worth of tape or an hour worth of tape, you go on there, formulate a game plan of what you think they're going to do with who you think they have, and you prepare your players the best of your ability with that information.
So you said freak, and yeah. This kind of came out in the last year, somewhere in there.
Right.
You know, and you see it around, either hashtagged or whatever. When you say freak, we're not talking weirdo.
Right. Well, I am, but...
I don't know.
So, you know, as coaches, sometimes we get caught up in winning. And obviously that's what most people see, the wins and losses. And coming towards the end of last year, you know, just listening to different coaches talk and reaching out to people, winning should be a byproduct of what we're teaching these young men to do. And giving them a set of behaviors and expectations and different aspects of life, whether it's in the Jack or weight room, it's in school, it's in the classroom and in life. So sitting down, thinking about different aspects or different ways that we can, you know, help raise these young men to be better individuals. And the acronym we came out with was FREAK.
And FREAK again?
FREAK again is
Stands for what?
FREAK stands for no fluff, so we tell the truth.
Okay.
So if someone's not getting their job done, we tell them. It's not, you're not demeaning, you're not screaming at them, but you come up and say, hey, we're not getting it done and we need to get better with it.
Okay.
The R is respect. You're being respectful to people, being respectful to the game. You treat your equipment nice, you treat the jack nice, you treat all people nice, whether it's your classmates, it's younger classmates, it's people older than you. A is always count on me.
Did you get the E?
Oh, man, I was so excited, which is the next part.
Twice PE teacher.
Yeah, not English. Enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm. Fluff, respect, enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm. We want guys to be hyped up on Fridays. We want them to attack their school just like they would attack a Friday night football game.
Okay.
A is always count on me. We can always count on you to know your alignment, your assignment, and your role. And then the K is keep swinging. No matter if we're up 10 or if we're down whatever, you keep coming out and you keep executing the way we have coached you up to execute.
Okay, so take us through the key words in FREAK so we have it all down right.
fluff, none of.
Fluff.
R, respect, being respectful. E, enthusiasm. A, always count on me. And K, keep swinging.
They had a stop sign.
Yeah, it didn't look like there were stop
signs. No, no. So, what kind of impact have you seen from that? You know, there's been some things like that that you have developed along with some other coaches. Right. Is there some stories, some impact that you've actually seen some of these students, these student athletes, young people buy into that?
Yes, I would say the first thing is fluff and none of it. And kids come out and they say, hey, you're not doing your job. Hey, hashtag no fluff. I'm going to tell you like it is. Same thing with us coaches. I think we believe that as, you know, adults to coaches and then, adults to kids and the kids back to us, if we are, we don't want to put any fluff on it. We don't want to make it look sexy. We don't want to tell them, oh, it's kind of this, this, and this. No, shoot me straight and I'll shoot you straight. I think that has been, kids have been very receptive to hearing the truth.
Well, that can be hard for many that right. A lot of times you will get that fluff because right. You don't want to upset somebody's feelings or hurt their feelings
right.
Or however you want to see it. You've got to be candid. And
right.
Be all right with that candor to be okay. I was talking to a friend of mine that has spent some time in the Netherlands over the last year, and that's really where they are. If you say, hey, want to grab coffee, they'll be like, no, I don't really enjoy your company. And they just won't do it.
Right.
But you sometimes have to accept what that way it is.
Right.
And develop that ability that it's something to work on, I assume.
Right. And it is, and it's really hard. You know, the first, I'll never forget when we were working on these behaviors, and this was during a class with a certain individual, and I told this individual, hey, no more fluff. I'm not going to be nice about it. I'm just going to tell you what I see that I don't like, and we're going to fix it. And it just kept evolving, and you hear guys on the practice field, hey, no fluff, get this done. Hey, no fluff. And it's not like, hey, you go clean up the locker room. It's, no, hey, you need to get your butt in a hole. Hey, you need to clean up your route a little bit like this. And guys understand it's for the best interest because we want to make you the best individual, best version of yourself out in the football field.
Well, for many, it's easy to take that personal.
Right.
That you just don't like me or you're not my friend
right.
Or you're bullying me or whatever it happens to
right.
be. But you're doing it to help improve them, betterment of the team.
Yeah, I would say, and the way it's really been helping is modeling the behavior. Me, myself, going around, hey, what do we need to do? What needs to be different? How do you feel? Tell me. Don't. And guys will be like, no. I say, hey, stop it. No fluff. Tell me how it is. Tell me how you're feeling. What don't you understand about this? And guys appreciate, like, hey, coach, I feel this way about it. And then, okay, maybe we don't understand a concept. Or our legs are a little heavy after, you know, we're 3/4 of the way through practice and we've gotten a lot of reps in a certain team session. And I think just with the short amount of time we've been doing it, we've seen really positive feedback from our kids with it.
So as we move into week one and we prepare to hit the road to Hudson, O-line is next week at that home game.
Right.
You got more work on your hands. You got teaching, you got coaching, and you're doing grad school.
Yes, sir.
So talk about that. What are we doing? You mentioned it a little bit in the last couple of shows.
Right.
Talk about going after that
right.
that higher degree.
You forgot father and being a husband, too.
Well,
yeah.
That's the most important work that you do, Tim.
You know what? Sidebar. In my garage at home, I have three things. They go in this order. I am a father first, I'm a husband second, and then coach teacher third. And
are those movable, interchangeable, like on The Price is Right when the signs move around? Or is that bolted in?
It's bolted in.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, I have a nice decompressed time when I'm going to Waterloo, but it just reminds me when I'm home, hey, I'm there for my family because that's obviously what is most important to me.
Grad school,
you bet. So going back, there's a couple of us teachers.
Might as well tack on one more thing.
Right, why not? I want to, same thing I've been telling our kids, we want you to be lifelong learners. And how can I best reach our kids if I'm not educating myself as well? So it's through, it's a teacher leadership and, master's of teacher leadership and curriculum through Buena Vista. It's all online. And what it's really made me do is be a lot more diligent with my time. It's, you know, hey, every night for 45 minutes, boom, I get home. Maybe it's, you know, I lose a little extra sleep, but I have to I have to be, like I said, a little more diligent with my time. My time is scheduled out a little bit more, and it's actually been very manageable with the load that we currently have.
Has Howie allowed you to study at your peak?
Yes, I would say so. It's always nice to, go play with Stratton or go hang out with Howie as a kind of study break. But, you know, my family, you know, a dog who can't talk, and my son who's very young, and everyone's been very understanding, and, it takes a tribe to get it all done.
College football also starts this weekend.
Yes, sir.
You know, the stint that you had in there, your alma mater, heading down to Ames. What are you thinking?
You know what? I couldn't tell you. I haven't followed much of the Panthers, and I know, yeah, there's a couple of my friends going down to watch the game, but Saturdays are for the families right now where I'm at. Get done, upload film Friday night, get home, and it's all about hanging out with Morgan, Stratton, and Howie.
So when you say that, it means how can you work college football into that schedule with them?
Yeah,
is what I'm hearing.
I'll flip it on as soon as it starts. It'll be on 10:30, 11 o'clock. Can always watch the old Hawk games on replay, like from 1970s and 80s. Not that I'm a huge Hawk fan, but football is football, so I can accept that.
Sure.
And, just turn it on, and then there'll be some time where, hey, I really want to watch this. I can use it as a teaching tool for our players, because I know there's some of our guys that like to watch a little college football. I actually had some of our players text me Saturday night talking about, hey, I see this is kind of what we do. I was like, you know what, I'm glad we're finally making that connection.
Okay. Yeah, that's big, because you can talk about it until you can actually see it.
Exactly.
That it makes sense. You get music going on the practice field?
Yes, we do. We get it loud as possible out there, get out a couple speakers, and that's another big thing this year is listen to a couple speakers at our football conference that we went to, and every coach, hey, we play music at practice. The guys love it. It's a great way to help transition, turn off the music, say, hey, we're going over here, turn back up, and kids seem to like it.
So what's on that playlist?
Depends.
We got some Inner Sandman, like the Hokies walk into. We got Van Halen, or Barry Manilow.
Right.
Is on your playlist.
I got some U2, and the kids really don't like that. If Coach Miller has the aux cord for the day, it's something a little more trendy that the kids like. One thing I'd like to do is let.
Are you doing the two-step out there?
I don't.
Busting out some semi-country.
No. Country has its place, but not
in rap country.
Not out there.
Okay.
I would like to eventually get to the process of some kids get to choose the music. I think that would be kind of a, hey, you're doing a really good job. You choose the music for this practice, and kind of.
But that's kind of a fine line too, right?
Right.
So it's with approval.
With
so
approval.
So there's an asterisk.
Yes, of course. You know, like you hear our music, but you hear music played before games, and all of that has to go through a certain process. Coach checks it off. Coach Mines checks it off before it can be played. And obviously the music that we're looking for is, it can be modern music, but it has to be clean and it has to be edited. Obviously that's not the freak mentality if, you're out at the practice field and you're hearing some colorful language coming from our Bluetooth speakers we have.
Yeah, I would imagine that's
generally frowned upon.
Yeah, generally frowned upon.
Yes.
So. Hudson Pirates will be hosting the Jayhawks coming up on Friday, 7 o'clock kickoff, and JV is moved to next week.
Yes, sir.
Are they playing, they're not playing Labor Day, are they? Or are they playing Labor Day?
Playing Labor Day.
Really?
Yes,
so
sir.
That answers that question of, are they really going to play on Labor Day?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you'll practice on Monday, too?
Yes, sir.
Okay. No rest for football. No holidays for football. So, game time, 7 o'clock. Hudson Field, if you haven't been there, high school, right south side of Hudson.
Yep.
And see how it all comes together. What's our uniform of choice? Do you have a special combination that you're going to try and work in on Friday?
Nope, it'll be white pants, white tops, orange helmet.
Okay.
Mainly because that's really what we have. So
I don't know if you'd mix it up with different colored pants.
Maybe someday, but not this week.
All right, everybody have a great week.
At TGIM, thank God it's Monday, and it's a great day to be a Jayhawk.
Ian sent that thing earlier to say. Everybody have a great week. Go Jayhawks.
See ya.
This is a Need 10 Media production.
Taking a break from this episode to tell you about the Motivators Assessment. A few years back, when I made a big turn on my own career adventure, I was traveling through O'Hare Airport, and I discovered the book What Motivates Me from The Culture Works. I was drawn to it because at the time in my life, I was looking to find out how I can get more excitement in the work I was doing. It wasn't about my strengths or personality, but what kind of work gets me excited each day. Going through this assessment, it gives you a great report. I learned that my key motivators are problem solving, learning, and developing others. It does really fit me. Go to whatmotivates.me, whatmotivates.me, to see what motivates you.